All right. Good to see everyone. Now, does anybody know where we're at in the book of Revelation? 12. We're in the 12th chapter. Almost.
Before 12.
We're ending 11. Just before 12. Okay. And the reason I don't spend much time on the end of chapter 11 is why. I say the reason I don't spend a lot of time on the end of chapter 11 is why?
You want to get into 12.
No. Oh, I tell you. Now, we have a guest this morning, a visitor, and y'all are making me look bad as a teacher. He's going to say, this guy can't teach anything because they can't answer a question. Well, let me explain it. We at the end of chapter 11, it says, and the seventh trump, or the seventh voice, sounded. The seventh trumpet sounds. Now, you remember that Revelation is in threefold. You remember that? It's, first of all, it begins with the sixth chapter. What starts in the sixth chapter? Come on. The seven seals. Well, there's no trombone mentioned in this. The seven seals. He begins to break the seven seals. Now, why is he breaking the seven seals, Henry? I'll just do it that way. I'll start naming out. And if you can't say, just say, Tom, I can't say. That's okay, son. That's all. Honesty's good. John, why is he breaking the seven seals?
To bring around the end time.
Well, that's a general statement, but specifically.
To lead up to the
what's got seven seals?
The scroll,
which is what?
The book.
No. It's the title deed to the earth. In other words, listen, when God created man, he gave man dominion over the earth, but it was his. It's his. It belongs to him. But man in the garden lost that dominion because of
sin.
Thank you. My assistant is always good. Because of sin, man lost that authority, that dominion. So now that's why that Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of darkness. He's the prince of this, thank you, world. And the word world there in that verse means not just the creation, that the globe, but the inhabitants of the globe. Until a person is saved, they are under the authority. They are under the rulership, if you will, of Satan. That's why Jesus told that. Remember, they said, "We be of our father." Thank you, Henry. I knew you'd get it. He's a lip reader. We be of our father Abraham, and Jesus said, "You're right." No, he didn't. He said, no, you're of your father,
the devil.
Listen, I know that's hard for people to understand. I do. And it's not something pleasant to say. But if a person does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they belong to Satan. The Bible's clear in it. The Bible says that hell was created. You're right, but what's the rest of it?
I'm being honest.
It says that hell was created for the devil and his angels and all nations that forget God. And the word nations there simply means people. It's not talking about the United States as a nation. or Germany as a nation. It's talking about the people in the United States, the people in Germany, the people in Japan. Wherever you are, it's talking about people. Whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, it's your place. It's your position. And you must change places or position. Right? If hell is created for the devil and his angels and all nations that forget God, what's the first thing a person wants to do? What's the opposite of forget? Now you're starting to get it. Remember God. Well, how do you remember God? You say, well, Tom, what do you mean, how do you remember God? Well, you've got to have a relationship to remember somebody, right? You have to know someone. You can't remember somebody you don't know, right? I mean, they say, do you remember so-and-so? No, I don't remember them because never knew them. But if they say, do you remember so-and-so and you did know them, you'd say, oh, yeah, I know them. See, so you got to have that relationship. Well, how do you get a relationship with God? Oh, Tom, you just go to church and you do good deeds and you try to be a good person and you got a relationship with God. No, no, no. You must have that relationship through his son. That's his plan. See, that's what he's talking about. So, that's the idea, and that's the plight of man. Now, the church is made up of whom? Okay, now we have to expand that, right? What believers? Now, I'm talking about people now.
Under the blood.
No, that's how they get to be a believer. Okay. What two groups of people are there in the world? No. As far as nationality goes. Thank you. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. There's nowhere in between. There's nothing else. That's the two groups of mankind, of humanity, Jew and Gentile. That's why Paul in Romans says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of, file that, because I'm going to come back to it, salvation to the, and also to the Greek or Gentile. So, Christ came not only to save Gentiles, he came to save Jews. Now that is spiritual. Okay, that's on the spiritual realm. If I get confusing, stop me because I want you have to understand this before I can go any farther this morning. That's on the spiritual realm. So spiritually, everyone that is saved is in the church. The church is made up of Jew and Gentile alike, because if you're saved, the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Spiritually, you're saved. You're in Christ. All right, now, that's spiritually. But what about physically? What about physically? Physically, I mean, did God make promises to the Jewish nation or Jewish people? Now, I'm not talking about people that convert to be a Jew and Judaism. No, I'm talking about the line of Jews, pure Jews, okay? Did he make promises to them that do not pertain to the Gentiles? Yes, for example, he gave them a certain area of land. Remember, he promised it to Abraham. What do they possess that land today? No. By no means do they possess the entire land that God gave. Otherwise, they would own Syria, parts of Iraq, Lebanon, Jordan. God promised all that to them. But they don't have it today, folks. But they're going to. Physically, they're going to dwell. Because God said, listen, I'm making this covenant, and it's not for a little time, it's for forever. It's everlasting. This covenant is an everlasting covenant that I make. But that's physically. They don't get that because they're a Jew only. They get that because God promised that. But they have to be in the church to receive that. What I mean by they have to be in the church, they have to come through Christ just like Helen came through Christ. They have to come through Christ just like, what's your name?
Mouse.
I tell you, sometimes my mind goes off and my wife will get on me and say, honey, I wish you lived in my world. Just for 1 minute, I wish you lived in my world. Then you'd understand. Because I look at her and I'll forget and she'll go. I say, honey, I can't help it. I can't help it. So anyway, that's the idea. Now then, how does God give them that land that he promised them if Satan is the ruler of it right now? Hence the scroll. He's got to take back everything, and then he's going to do away with all of it, make it new, and then he's going to make it just like it is now, and he's going to give that territory that he promised Abraham to the Jewish people, the remnant. What do we mean by the remnant? The ones that come through Christ. See, you don't get anything because you're a Jew. Just like you don't get anything because you're a Gentile. Just like you don't get anything because you're a Baptist. I heard, and I don't mean this derogatorily now. I'm just trying to make my point. I heard on the radio the other day, this radio program, they give out the obituaries. And at the end they said she was of the Baptist faith. Now, I don't have a clue what that is. I don't know what the Baptist... Listen, I can tell you this. Faith means trust. And if you're trusting in the fact that you're a Baptist, it won't hold up. Now, listen, I've been a Baptist all my life because my daddy said I was going to be. No, I've just been a Baptist all my life. But folks, my daddy was the first one to teach me. Now, Tom, being a Baptist won't get you anything, son. That's just the denomination that we serve and worship in. If you don't know Christ, you don't have anything. So you don't have faith. So that's the idea. But now, you say, Tom, why did you say all that? Well, because I started off by saying the very first part of this thing is the seven seals. And then what follows the seven seals? The trumpets, the seven trumpets. And then what follows the seven trumpets? The seven vows. But it's not different occurrences. It's all happening simultaneously because it's all done within a 7-year period. And so the reason I don't spend a lot of time at the end of chapter 11, you say, whew, boy, I didn't think we'd ever get back there, is because the end of chapter 11 is just talking about the seventh trumpet sounding and what happens at the end of the seventh trumpet, because that's the end of things. And it says that there's rejoicing in heaven, but other than the rejoicing in heaven, it's also the time that the dead shall be judged. Not only the dead are judged, it's not talking about physically dead now, it's talking about spiritually dead. And the reason I know that is because the next part says, and the prophets and the saints are rewarded. So it's a time of judgment for the lost. It's a time of reward for the children of God. And then it says, I saw the temple in heaven opened, and I saw the ark. So what it's talking about is those that know Christ go into the presence of God, which the temple talks about the presence of God. That's where he is. And the ark represents the promises of God. So just when God promised you, and he did, honey, he did, and you can die with it. Isn't that wonderful? It's something you can not only live with, you can die with. You can take your last breath with, and you can take your last breath knowing there is no fear, because God promised me that if I would trust in His Son as my Savior, I would take my last breath here, my first breath there, and I would be in His presence. To be absent from the body, that says when you die, that's what that's talking about. Absent from the body is death, is to be. And you notice that's instantaneous, folks. There's no gap in there. Quicker than that. You take your last one here, your first one there, and let me tell you, just as sure as I'm standing here, you're sitting there, your first one there will be better than anyone you ever took here. But that's the promise, and that's why it talks about the ark. But then it not only talks about the ark. Now, I'm just telling you what it says. You can go read it. It says not only was the ark there, but there were thundering, and lightning, and voices, and
earthquake,
and hail. What's all that talking about? Huh? Oh, listen. It gives you the two sides, folks. And I'm a teacher of two sides. I love teaching about the grace of God. I don't like teaching about the wrath of God. But folks, anybody thinks there's just grace and no wrath are badly fooled, badly mistaken, and not getting the truth. There's judgment for those who fail to remember God, to listen to God, to hear God. Remember, and then I'm moving on to chapter 12. You remember when Jesus was baptized and a dove descended. Now, what's that represent? The Spirit of God. And it lit upon his shoulder, and a voice from heaven. Listen, you say, I've never heard an audible voice. Well, they did. Just as sure as I listen, they heard a voice from heaven just as sure as I'm standing here. And what did the voice say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, thank you, honey. I love it when you finish off these verses. Now, why does it say, hear ye him? Because, folks, it's not enough. It's not enough to know about him. A lot of people can say they know about Jesus, but it's the ones that hear him, that believe him. That's where it counts. And that's why he says, hear ye him. And he says, hear ye him for one simple reason. There's no one else to hear. No one else has the answer. No one else has the solution for our problem, which is sin. Now, with that being said and this being done, then we go to chapter 12. Now, chapter 12, I'm going to teach different than what I've been teaching. I'm going to take it verse by verse, okay? Verse by verse, and I'm just going to refer to some things maybe in the Bible, but I'm going to just take it verse by verse, and you will see it is so simple. It's a chapter of symbolism. Now, what do we mean by symbolism? Well, symbolism is simply a sign of something. A sign of something that is real, but is referred to in a symbolic way. But remember, it doesn't mean it's mythical because it uses signs. It's referring to something that is extremely real. So it says, and I saw a great wonder in heaven. Now the word wonder there is the word Simeon in Greek. It simply means sign. It's the same word. You remember that they said, Lord, we would seek a sign from you. Remember that? And he said, no sign shall be given except. Except what, Henry? It's okay if you shake your head no, son. There you go. Thank you. I appreciate that because, hey, that means I'm going to help you with something. He said, there shall be no sign given except the sign of Jonah. Now, why would he talk about Jonah? Well, because he's getting ready to say, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth 3 days. In other words, Jonah was a symbol of something. Jonah was real. Jonah was in a real whale or big fish, whatever you want to call it. He's in there. But what Jesus is saying is, as he was in there, so I'm going to be in the earth. But just as he was delivered from the whale or the big fish, I'm going to be delivered from the earth or the grave or death. And so he says, that's the only sign I'm going to give you. And if you won't believe that sign, it wouldn't matter if I give you 10 signs, you're not going to believe them either. Just believe this one, because this is the only one that counts, right? Listen, the only sign that counts is that Jesus was buried. But in 3 days, he wasn't buried. Huh? In 3 days, he was alive again. And it says, and because he lives, what? We live, and there's a key word there. All so. Now the word also is there. Why? Why doesn't it just say, and because he lives, we live? Well, the word also is there to tie you and him together. Now, how long does he live? See? Now, so how long you gonna live, Henry? Hey, tell it, brother. Now, that's why he says, and I give unto them eternal life. Now, how can he do that? Because he is eternal life. Look, it'd be like me saying, and I give unto you $1,000,000. Oh, but I don't have $1,000,000 to give you, by the way. I just said it. No, don't you feel good? I can't, but if I said I give unto you $10, now I can fulfill that. I can handle that. You can't promise somebody something you don't have. Well, Jesus said, Chris, I give unto you eternal life, and you will never perish. You will never die, because I give it to you. And that's why it's also there. We're tied to him. We're tied to him for eternity. Well, glory. Don't you like that? Well, but what's the opposite side? If you're not also there with him, you won't be tied to him for eternity, but you will be in eternity separated from him. Thank you, John. And to be separated from him means you're not in heaven, but you're in hell. You're not in a place of paradise, but a place of punishment. You have to be also. You have to be also. You have to be tied to him. There's no other way. I would never teach you any other thing than you must be born again. You must be born of two things, John says. What? You must be born of the blood and of... No. Thank you. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean that you must be? He says you must be born again, right? You have to have a new birth. Okay, he says, how do you get a new birth? Well, he says it's by blood and water. There's some denominations that would tell you that water there is baptism. Well, that can't be. That just can't be. Because what touches the physical water? The physical body. Well, listen, this body's not going to heaven. Could I tell you that? Your body's not going either. You're going to have a new body. So I know that water baptism won't save anybody. What has to be touched? Oh, the soul has to be touched. Well, how do I get the soul touched? Well, it tells you, by blood and by water. Now, I'll explain that to you. What happened on the cross? They came along and they stuck a spear in Christ. What came out? Now, there's not a doctor in this universe that, as is a real doctor, that won't tell you that the blood and the water was proof, 100% proof, that he was dead. So what it's saying is, Jesus said, you must be, oh, look here, hallelujah. Don't you look, what a child. Now, if she'd like to go to Judy's class, I'll have someone take her, but if she won't stay with you, that's up to you. We have a little class downstairs. She'd love Miss Judy. Pam, could you take her down there if she wants to go? You want to go see Miss Judy? Oh, you'll love Miss Judy. I can tell you that. She's, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, she gives you candy and cookies. I think I'm going. All right, now, so it's good to have you, honey. It's good to have you. Now, so we know there that it's talking about not, you know, and you would hear some people talking about, well, it's talking about a physical birth and a spiritual birth. No, what it's talking about is, it's talking about the death of Christ. There's only one way a person can be born again. Through and by the atoning death of Christ and his resurrection. That's it. There is no other way. Now, the reason we baptize people is why? Well, baptism simply demonstrates to those who see that baptism two things. It demonstrates, first of all, your faith in Christ. Second of all, it demonstrates your obedience to Christ. Because Jesus was baptized. Well, there's nobody in this room would tell me that Jesus needs to be baptized to be saved. No, he was just setting that, which is a, thank you, brother. Y'all are picking up, you're starting to pick it up like that chicken now. You know, I throw it, you ever seen the chicken? You throw it food on the ground, boy, them things, it's just going everywhere picking at it. So that's what a sign is. It shows you something real. Now, there's this wonder or this sign in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon and 12 stars. Now, who is this woman? Well, I hear a lot of people say that it's the church. Okay, I want you to file that under church. But you see, the chapter itself is very definitive. If you just follow the chapter, that's why I say I'm going to go take this verse by verse. So he says, and now not only was this woman clothed with the sun and the moon and 12 stars, she was with child in travail, wanting to give birth. Now, why the moon and the stars and the sun? Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to go back to Genesis 37 and see where Joseph had a dream. Now, Joseph told his brothers, he said, now, I dreamed a dream. Remember, he dreamed a dream of sheaves first. They didn't like that. Then he says, I dreamed another dream. I dreamed a dream of the sun and the moon and 11 stars. And they paid obeisance to me. In other words, I was over them. Well, they didn't like that. They didn't like that. No. What do you mean? You're the youngest. We're not going to come bow down to you. They thought it was a bad thing. But it wasn't a bad thing at all. It was a dream about salvation. Now, they didn't know it was a dream about salvation because they couldn't see off into the future. But if they could have seen off into the future, they would have seen themselves going down to Egypt during a famine, desperate for food, and coming upon their brother by happenstance, who would see that they got everything they needed and saved them. That's why at the very end of Genesis, it talks about it and it says, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. But the point is, in his dream, it shows the sun and the moon. Now, all you have to do is go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16. And you see that the sun was made to do something by day. No. That's true. But the word there, it starts with the R. The second letter's... Somebody's been reading the Bible. Give her an A. The sun was to rule by day, and the moon was to rule by night. So when he says the sun and the moon, what's he talking about in Joseph's dream? He's talking about rule or authority. Well, wasn't that what Joseph received? He received all the authority of the Pharaoh or the king, right? Well, who's got all the authority of the king now? Thank you, brother. So Joseph was a sign, a symbol of something different than himself, but a real thing, a thing about salvation. Well, we're not talking about the church being saved in Revelation. We're talking about Israel being saved. Now, saved simply means deliverance or rescued. Now, so he says there was a woman, and it was a moon and a star and the sun and the stars, and she was with child. Now, the reason I know this can't be the church is because the church never birthed a child, folks. Never. It was Israel. And it's about Israel in Revelation. It's not about the Gentiles. We've had our day. May I say to you, we're in our day, but we're going to have our day. And our day's going to be over. And God's going to turn his attention back to Israel. And he's going to restore Israel. Just sure as you're sitting there, I'm standing here. God's going to restore Israel. Why? Where did he promise? Remember last week? The book. Folks, look, the book you hold in your hand, oh, don't ever think it's just something. It's the book. It's the Word of God. It's the written Word of God. It's the verbal Word of God. It's the incarnate God. Listen, the book you hold in your hand is the book. And the book says it. And if the book says it, you better bank on it, because that's how it is. But then there's another wonder. Now notice he doesn't say a great wonder. He just says a wonder. He says there's a wonder and there was a... He uses the word great now, but he uses the word great to describe what he sees in the wonder. Remember, the wonder is a sign. So we see another sign. And it's a great red dragon. And the dragon is described having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. Now, file that, because you're going to see that again. You're going to see it not when it's describing Satan, but when it's describing someone else. And then you remember the word also? Just as we have to be attached to Christ, this person that's coming along is going to be attached to Christ. And you're going to see that. You've heard that old saying, like father, like... Well, hang in there. So that's how it's described. Now, why does it describe him as having 7 heads, first of all? Well, if you remember, there's 7 Gentile kingdoms in the world. 7. Since you say yes, name them for me. What's the first one? Well, see, I like it when you say I don't know, because I can come over here and we can talk. Okay. The first one is Egypt. Okay. The second one is Assyria. Now, you should be able to name them from there, John. What's the next one?
Persia.
Huh? No. Babylonia. Babylon. What's the next one? What followed the Babylonian kingdom? Now, we talked Daniel. Come on now. Don't make me look bad as a teacher. Huh? Medo-Persian, right? Now, what followed the Medo-Persian? Greek. What followed that? Roman. How many is that?
Six.
Oh, boy, we're off. The Bible is off. Well, yeah, it says seven. He said it had seven heads. The Bible has to be off. God has to have made a mistake. Well, where's that seventh one? Good, John. So what is the seventh one?
The Antichrist.
It's the kingdom of the Antichrist, or as we call it, the revised Roman Empire. Now, remember, and I told you, it's not the one where they have the little plumes on their helmet and a little skirt down here and little short swords and all that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in territory. In territory. Now, so he's got seven heads. And he's got how many crowns? How many horns? Now, what that's talking about, and you're going to see later, is talking about a 10-nation confederacy. So anytime you see the word horn, you're talking about power and authority. So what are they going to do? They're going to give their authority to someone, right? And then upon that, he had seven crowns. Okay, so we got seven heads, 10 horns, and seven crowns. Now, when you go down to see the Antichrist in the next chapter, you'll see him described as having seven heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns, and the names of blasphemy upon his head. So why is that different? Well, because the Antichrist is going to get 10-nation confederacy to give their power to him. No different. World War II. Anybody ever study World War II much? Or remember something about World War II? We had one general that was not just over the forces from the United States. He was over the forces from the United States and Britain and France and all the other nations that were together. His name was General Dwight David Eisenhower, who later became our president. But he, all these nations said to their armies, he's got total authority. I know he's an American and you're French, but he's got authority. And let me tell you something. If he thought that you were treasonous and you were a Frenchman, he had the authority to order your execution because he had been given that authority by those nations. Well, folks, it's not any different here. These nations are going to give their authority to the Antichrist, and he's going to rule with them, and he's going to reign with them, and he's going to create terror with them, but that's how it's going to happen. Now, so let's pick it up there and go as fast as I can. I got about 10 minutes. I never have enough time, but I'm going to try. I'm trying to do better. First, I got to get there. I'm opening the wrong book. What? The 10 crowns is simply the authority of the 10 nation confederacy. Now, so here's what it says. And his tail, whose tail? The great red dragon, drew a third part of the stars. What's the stars? It's not stars that we see sparkling at night, it's angels. And listen, you can go throughout the Bible and see angels shown as stars. So there's no doubt that that's what it's talking about. So what it means is that when he was cast out by God, a third of the angels were cast out with him. And they become what? Angels or demons. Now listen, if you don't believe in demons, I'm sorry. They're as real as I am. And if God would pull back the curtain and let us see what's going on right now, our knees would be knocking, folks. I'm just telling you. Because there are forces of Satan going against the forces of God right now. The Bible calls it the prince and powers of the air and the principalities. There is a hierarchy of demonic people. And listen, we've already seen the locusts. They're demonic. The 200 million men aren't. They're demonic. When God turns the demons loose on this earth, aren't you glad you're not going to be here?
Amen.
Just another reason to get out of here. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. Now listen, there's no one in here that can't figure that out. I could ask anyone in here to explain that. And they could. Right, Doris? Who wants to? Right, honey? You can answer that, can't you? Well, let me ask you this. What did our pastor preach on just a few weeks ago? Three wise men. And you remember they came to Herod and they said, "We seek the king of the Jews." And Herod said, "Oh, how wonderful. Would you do me a favor? Would you go and find him? And when you have found him, would you come and tell me so that I can come and worship him?" What a liar. I know he's a liar because you know who was heading up him? Satan. Satan. I know that by this verse because it says the red dragon was ready, was there waiting for him to be delivered so he could destroy him. But it was Herod that was doing the bidding of Satan because Herod's the one that said, "Well, they didn't come back. They tricked me. Let's just kill all the children 2 years and under. I'll get rid of him." Well, that wasn't Herod saying, "I'll get rid of him." That was Satan saying he'd get rid of him. That's what this is talking about. Listen, Satan is out to get what belongs to God. But aren't you glad? He can't touch me. Hey, greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. Look, folks, don't ever let somebody tell you that he can harm a child of God. A child of God can do harm to themselves by listening. But Satan can't touch you if you're faithful to God. I'll give you a verse, and then I've got to hush. I'll pick up here again next week. Colossians chapter 3 says this. "If ye then be risen with Christ." Now, who's he talking about, "if ye then be risen with Christ"? He's saying, if because you are risen with Christ, or since you are risen with Christ, what does that mean? Well, that means you're saved. So let me read it that way. He says, "Since you're saved, seek those things which are above, not those things which are on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life..." Pick it up, son. Pick it up. "Your life, your soul is hid in Christ with God." Now, if I had three little cups, I could demonstrate to you. On one cup, I'd put me. On another cup, I'd put Christ. And on another cup, I'd put God. And I'd take the one that said me, and I'd place it in that cup that said Christ. And I'd take that cup that said Christ, and I'd place it in that cup that said God. Now, for somebody or Satan to get to you, first of all, they got to go through Christ. They got to go through Christ. Well, let's say some way, hypothetically, just bear with me. Let's say some way they got through Christ. Oh, they got to go through God. Listen, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. Don't you ever, well, all we got to do is be faithful to him. But here he says, and he's standing before the child, ready to be, going to take care of the child when he's delivered. But I want you to see what happens, and I'm going to quit. He says, "And she brought forth the man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's what the Bible says, and that's what's going to happen. And her child was. Did you notice something there? Give me the time frame there. And then I got to quit. Give me the time frame. Huh? Well, all right, first we got the child born, right? It doesn't say anything that happens after the child was born. It doesn't say anything about his earthly ministry. It goes from being born to being caught up. Why doesn't it mention the in-between? Oh, I've got an answer. He said it's not relevant. Why isn't it relevant? I'm not.
The ascension of Christ back in heaven is where we're going.
Okay, now, you're sort of right. I'm going to help you out. There's no in-between because the in-between deals with the church. Well, there's no need to mention the church here. The church is gone. All that we're dealing with now is Israel. So he says, listen, I don't need to mention that time that we referred to the church. I'm just going from him being born now to him ascending to the right hand of the Father. That's all I need. And that's all he's talking about. But it's also to identify who the child is. You can't miss the fact that the child is Christ, folks. That's why I say it can't be the church, that because the church didn't birth Christ. Christ birthed the church. Christ came through the Jewish lineage. It's talking about Israel. Well, we'll pick up there next week. I run out of time. So, and good to have you, and good to have you, and I hope you'll come back.